This is KLQP Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
For some of the hostages. I'm Jack Callahan, Fox News. The Israeli Defense Force confirms that four Israeli hostages have been rescued from Gaza. The IDF, a special unit of the Israeli police and Israel Security Service, raiding two locations in central Gaza on Saturday to free three men and a woman who'd been taken by Hamas from the Nova Music Festival during the October 7th terror attacks. It's believed there are as many as 120 hostages still being held by Hamas. French President Emmanuel Macron welcoming President Biden and the First Lady to a state visit in Paris today.
The White House says it's a key priority of theirs to revitalize relationships with other countries. And today, President Biden gets the chance to do that with America's oldest ally. While part of the day is devoted to discussing Ukraine, the Middle East, and climate change with French President Emmanuel Macron, other aspects of the state visit are a little less serious. A ceremonial procession to the Elysee Palace and a glamorous state dinner. The trip wraps tomorrow when the President and First Lady lay a wreath at the American Cemetery for the First World War. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Former President Trump is in the deep blue state of California today, raising money.
Former President Trump is using this Western state swing to turn that conviction into California gold. Last night, tech investors and hosts of the All In podcast, David Sacks and Chamath Palihapitiya, held a private fundraiser in Silicon Valley. Fox News confirming that haul at $12 million. Fox News Digital has confirmed in March, Sacks met with Republican Senator J.D. Vance and Donald Trump Jr. in D.C. This was the first time Sacks said he was, quote, all in for Trump. Last night's fundraiser is in addition to the post-verdict war chest Trump has already amassed.
Fox's Alicia Acuna. America is listening to Fox News.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It's time to take the quiz.
Five questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
History, pop culture, science, sports, civics. How much do you know? Let's find out.
Who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Jackson or something?
Neil Armstrong.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz right now at the quiz.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Daytime highs approaching 76 today. Under clear skies, north winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows dip down to about 53. Highs level off around 73 tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Mid-70s, Monday and Tuesday, with a chance of thunderstorms Tuesday. Looking at the long range, 85 Wednesday, 84 Thursday, and 79 on Friday. To recap, high of 76 today, we should dip to 53 tonight, a high of 73 tomorrow. From the weather, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly on Q92 Country. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
Experience Heritage Days, 3 miles east of Montevideo on Highway 7, Friday and Saturday, June 14th and 15th. Check heritagehill.us for the complete schedule. The gates open at 7 a.m. on Friday the 14th. Check out numerous events, including tractor parades, a performance by the Red Letter Band, kids pedal pull, tractor and truck pull, Listen for live broadcasts on Q92 FM. HeritageHill.us has the complete schedule. Friday and Saturday, June 14th and 15th, experience Heritage Days. 3 miles east of Montevideo on Highway 7.
Explore Minnesota and start in Appleton first. Paddle the Pomme de Terre, Lacaparra Lake, Marsh Lake area, 325 acres of the OHV and 4x4 park, beautiful 9-hole golf course, hunting, fishing, birding, good hometown food. Explore history with the 34 streets and avenues named after our fallen heroes. Appleton has it all. Come explore Minnesota and start in Appleton first.
It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Rayo here in the studio. Got to push the right buttons, John. John Sherb's in the studio. Dick Newman with the day off today. John just got back late last night from state track, right?
Yes, late last night.
So the short night then.
Yeah, it's a very short night.
Well, we appreciate you coming in early in the morning here. So, yeah, let's talk state. Let's talk track. Dawson Boy, Lacaparra Valley. I had some participants in the state track meet this past week.
Yeah, it was, you know, going in, you know, we had, you know, we were in six events. You know, we kind of had ideas where we could place. You know, James is our new one and Haley's our new one. So, you know, and Brayson's been there. So Brayson's been back at his three events he normally is in. So, you know, we had ideas where we wanted to be and what we wanted to do. And, you know, Brayson was second last year along in the triple. So he kind of wanted to hopefully get a state title in one of those. And that's kind of what our dream is. And so we were kind of figuring out where we could score and what we could do. And, you know, our goal was to get everybody a medal if we could, and it came up a little short, but you know, like the way the kids competed down there. So, you know, we're kind of, like I said, we're looking at that. Plus also, you know, we're kind of looking at that dark horse of could you maybe get to the the team trophy, you know, top three. We're kind of maybe have a shot at that. And, you know, things got to go really, really right to get that. But, you know,
you did it a few years ago with two girls.
Yep, we had two girls, and, you know, we did it with the boys. And that was with Nick. That was with Nikki and with
Amanda.
Yep. So, it was, you know, you just don't know. And so that's kind of we're looking at that way. But, you know, going in, going in on Thursday prelims, we had Brayson, you know, in the triple jump. He got nicked up early in the week. He had a little leg injury, kind of in the groin area. That was kind of some issues. We were kind of concerned about that, and so we were kind of trying to baby that through. And Kelly had done some stretching with him, trying to get it. And we had to do some stretches to work off and icing and trying to get him through it that way. So we're kind of trying to fight that a little bit because we wanted to limit to him. So that's kind of a fight there with going to that. You know, triple jump going in. He was tied for first with the triple jump on a performance out of the section. And you kind of, you just, it doesn't mean a heck of a lot. It gives you an idea where you're at. And so that's kind of what we're looking at there. He really, you know, he really did some nice things in there. He got his first jump, wasn't anything fancy, but then he hit two big ones. He went, because actually there was a kid that went 44 foot in the prelims in the first flight. So then he really had to have a big one there because now you're going to have to go after your own personal record to probably win it. And had a great jump. And his second jump went 45.2, if I remember right off the top of my head. So that launched him into there. So, you know, he took his third jump in there and went 45.3 1/4. So now that put him in first there going into the finals. And now the question is we got to save his legs a little bit too because, you know, we don't want to pull because we know Friday is going to be even tougher yet because you got prelims and finals of the long jump. You got the high jump, so you're going to go back and forth. So we said, let's, you know, Kester does a really good job with him. And we talked a little bit about it, and I said, you know, let's save him, you know, legs for Friday, but keep him in the bullpen, keep him hot on a pistol, ready to go if we need to jump. And so he warmed up everything else going to finals, never jumped in finals, and just because he wanted to hold on to save his legs. And Kid from Osakis that was in second had a big jump on his last one to make it very, very interesting. But he ended up falling behind him. He went I think he went 45-2, I think it was. So Brace ended up winning by an inch and a half, inch and a quarter. So he gets his first state title on that one, you know, just, you know, beaming. You know, he couldn't give him the smile before, but then after he finally said, now you can smile. Yes, now I can smile. So that was really nice to see him to kind of get that load off his back as just to win one.
Maybe the haircut did it for him.
Huh? Maybe that too.
Made him a little lighter.
Yeah. He looks different with that hair like that. But so, you know, you got to really like the way he stepped up to get his title there. So, you know, it was kind of, we had hope. So that was really a nice thing there. Then on, we had James in the prelims of the 110s and also the 300s. You know, you got to get the finals. Doesn't matter how fast you run, you got to get the finals. It's going to come down to that placing mark. 110s, he ended up finishing eighth overall. They take nine in the finals. They take top two out of each heat. So he made finals in that, which was really interesting, is the four kids out of our section all qualified for finals. So you have nine kids in the finals, four of them out of our section. So that's pretty darn tough there.
Is this a 300 or the
110?
110, okay.
And so he's in the finals. He went 15.18. So that was good. And he was third in his heat to make finals. So that was a good thing. He's seated eighth going in. 300 hurdles. Again, same thing. You know, two heats into there, seeing where he can go with that. And he looked really good in those 300 hurdles. Attacked and kind of hit a little bit that wall. That wind was howling enough on that back straightaway. When you turned onto the curve, it hit him a little bit and kind of flustered him a little bit. But he still got through. He had finishing second in his heat, which automatic qualified. He was sixth overall on time in the prelims. He went 41.19. So he got into finals. So that was our goal right there for day one, was to get to finals. We'll be good. So a very, very successful first day. And then, you know, then was kind of the meat and potatoes was going to be on Friday. And so Friday was going to be the weather was a lot nicer, warmer. Because I think it was only probably 67 degrees down there on Thursday, and wind. So it was made tough because there was points when you could feel the gravel getting thrown at your legs. That's how windy it was down there. So it was good that way. So I did forget to mention Brayson does now set the new school record in the triple jump. He broke Brett Dale's record at 44 feet 5.
Oh, good.
So now he will be the new school record at 45 feet 3 and a quarter inches. Going in on Friday, Brayson's going to be a long day. It's a lot of people probably don't understand. They think, well, it should be simple like normal meets. It's not, because you are on the clock at both events. And so you got to jump at one event, then you got to turn around, go to the other event, and jump over there. So you're back and forth. And plus, you're working different techniques of jumping. And so you got to change that mentality of now being a vertical jumper to now you got to change it. Now you got to be into a speed jumper with vertical. So you really got to change. And that's the toughest thing. And that's, you know, that was my concern, always my concern when we have that, is like going, how do you manage? And that's why, again, he's probably not happy with his marks in the high jump compared to long jump of how he finished. But that's the toughest thing with it. So he started on the high jump, came in at 5'10", looked very, very comfortable, no issues with the leg, which was good to hear. Then he got to 6 foot, no problem there, cleared in his first attempt. Then went over and long jumped, had to change his little of his tempo there in that long jump to get himself. First one he scratched on. Second one he finally hit a decent one there. That was 21-4 and a quarter. So that got him into finals. And then just wasn't, you know, just getting the finals in the next step. So he was sitting about eighth going to the finals, but you got to get to finals and you work off it. Then you turn around, you go back to do high jump. Now you're at 6'2". He clears 6'2" on his first attempt. Then he's got to come back, and then he gets one jump in on the long jump. Then he goes, ends up going 21. Wow. I think it was 21-11. So he hit a good one. Then he turns around. Now he's go back to high jump.
Oh, wow.
So now here he is at 6 foot four, which he's made consistently throughout the year. He's made that pretty soundly. His first two were very, very good. It's just unfortunately, you got to get those landing gear out of the way and caught it with his legs coming through. And Albers was reminding him, and Joel was reminding him, you know, where he needed to be and, you know, kind of hitting that mark. And unfortunately, he just did not get that 6'4 clearance. And he was not a happy camper on that. And now he's got to turn and change that mentality of, now I got to get myself together to be able to get into that long jump. And because, again, it's a whole mindset, and we talk about the mental part of you'll have some highs and some lows. You got to balance it. You got to be pushing on to your next level and focusing. And so he got himself back through there and then hit a big jump in the finals, went 21, 11 and a quarter. I believe that was on his second jump. He needed a 22.5 to be able to get second in his last year, or he had to go big time, which was 23.2, I think was the winning jump, and that's a big time jump because he has a PR by a foot to get that. So you knew it was a loaded field on that one, but just it came up a little short. Didn't have a real big one on his last one, so he ended up finishing third with a 21.11 and a quarter, and then he finishes eighth in the high jump, clearing 6.2. So. Not the greatest of what he wanted, but still, you come back with medals out of the deal. You'll get three more, medals. You'll get also neat, mm-hmm. and have it. Then also Haley was also throwing the shot put when Brayson was just finishing up there. She ended up finishing 14th. She threw a toss of 34 feet 8 3/4. I think that was her first toss. Just really didn't have it. I know she said her ankle. She's had some foot injuries a little bit throughout the year, just because of the running, and everything else, because of. That as a factor. So since she felt it during warm up, says like, ooh, that's not a good sign either. But because you need your legs to go with your plant, and she still, to finish 34.8 3/4, not far off from her personal best. But you still like the way she can be, get a chance to be down there. She was well finished last. Doesn't matter if you finish last or you finish first, because the other thing is you get to compete.
You're there.
People aren't there that should be there. I think they belong there, but they aren't. You are throwing. So just a great performance for her to finish out her career there was to finish 14th at 34.8 3/4. 110 hurdles. We said James in the 110s. He was sitting eighth going into finals. We're kind of looking, hopefully he can get a little bit move up on that. He ended up finishing seventh, 15.29. The bad thing with his lane position hurt him a lot, I think, affected him. He was in lane one, so you really don't get caught with having people around you racing. Now you got people to your right, nothing to your left. And so that can be a little daunting. He still handled it very well to finish seventh at 15.29. And so that was great there for him to finish it. 300 hurdles was a race for everybody. We qualified three kids out of our section to the finals, which is really good again. And going in, he was seated sixth going in. So can you get higher up or not? And, that's kind of where we're looking and see what happens. He ended up getting fourth at 40.46. From first place to ninth place is 1 second separating first to ninth. That's how much of a wall it is in those hurdles and just one clip and everything else. And so because the winning time was like 39.89, I think, was the winning time. So he's right there and then.
Wow.
So he finishes fourth at 40.46. And like I said, just a great performance of him. So, team points, we ended up getting 31 points for the team. We tied for sixth. We were, I think we were 7.5 points out of third. It's very, very difficult. If you could even slice it even better, we could get it. We'd have to really have to have PRs throughout the whole level to get there. So
good.
We tied with Monty for six. So, in the end, we qualify. You get those in there. And of the boys, the two boys also now have redone the school records. And we'll talk about that when we close up the season.
Yeah.
So you got to really like that. And just a great performance. The coaching staff, Paul Lowry, with the throwing, and Joel and Paul and Ted Elbers and Ron Kester and Dave Thompson all down there to be able to do things.
They're all down there.
They're all down there. So it was good having everybody down there just to kind of work off together. They do such a nice job. And like I said, just you sit back and in awe when you have really, really good coaches around you. You don't have to really – you let them just do it, and you sit back, and they did such an outstanding job.
Right. How did the section do overall down there, you think?
Oh, I thought we did very well. We had some events we were really, really sound. I know, like the boys' mile out of our section, they went 1-2.
Oh, good.
And they're both juniors, and that's
where they from?
Redwood kid. I can't think of the name. Yeah. Redwood kid, and then also the Laverne kid went 1-2, and Laverne kid was actually in second. The Redwood kid, I think, was in fifth with 200 meters to go. Just came down the straight, just came like gangbusters down it to win it. So had that, I believe also McCray's 4x4 ran really well. I think they were fourth down there, I believe, also. And they ran, I think that's a school record for them with their time. So you know, we had some really good ones in Cami Mignota. I know their 4x8 was is a loaded girls 4x8. That was a hot team all the way through. I think that performance, all levels were good in that one. So
Monty must have did well.
Yep.
Tied for six with
you. Yeah, tied with six. You know, you got the horse in the throwing event. You know, he ended
Francis getting, O'Malley.
O'Malley, yeah. He was second in the shot put. And he was also,
fifth
in the disc. Okay. And they also had an Anderson kid in the pole vault that finished second also. So, you know, Monty does very well. You know, we did really well. Laverne, you know, because we were fifth in the section, and we ended up being one of the top teams coming out of section at state meet because, you know, you look at how that finished with us tied Monty. So very, very, you know, great performance of these kids. Love the way they see they go and, you know, compete. And you come home, and like I told Brayson, I said, remember, they only issue one state champion. You get one of them. Yep. Not everybody else gets one of those. Now you got something, you know, you can build on and go off it. So that'll be kind of the fun thing for all of them. James, you know, to close out his career of never being here to also now to excel as senior year. And same with Haley. Haley was only out for track for 2 years, her second year out for track. So nice. Yeah, I liked the way they competed.
Good. And congratulations to Brayson Blake, state champion.
Yep. Nice.
It's always nice to say you're a state champion.
Yeah,
right?
It is, because you can't take that away from you. It's just something you enjoy.
That's right. And the venue, St. Michael Albertville, is, you know, watching the sports highlights and stuff. It looks like a nice venue.
Oh, it's a very nice venue. You know, huge scoreboard with everything on it, just with the turf. And also, you know, it's a limitation. Like James found out was, you know, you're used to being able to warm up in the infield. You don't get to warm up in the infield. They don't let anybody in that infield at all until it's before your event.
Oh.
So it's a whole different venue for warming up and getting used to it. And everything is so tighter with officials, and it's not as freelancing. So, but I think they do a very good job with it. It's just the parking is so much easier for the spectators. A lot of people.
It used to be at Hamlin, right?
Yep, Hamlin just was tight to get in because you had to park at the state fairgrounds, and they bust you in. Now everybody's there. And same thing for us to get in as coaches and athletes. It's easier to get in because we have a parking spot set for us. We don't have to fight that. So it's good. It's a nice performance. Nice meet.
All right, John. Thanks a lot for the report on the state track. That must be fun. Go ahead.
Yeah, one other thing. We were going to try to do our track banquet Sunday night. We're now moving to Monday night. We had some conflicts. There's always conflicts. We're trying to limit our conflicts. So our best limitation on conflicts is now we're going to move it to Monday night out at La Caparra. I'm not sure where yet with the construction that's going out there. We could do it in the Commons. If it's a nice enough evening, we may do it outside, too.
Okay.
So we'll have that.
All right, real good, John. And maybe next week or the week after, after your awards ceremony, then we'll wrap the whole track season up.
That sounds good.
You'll have the whole hour.
I'll have the whole hour.
You'll need the whole hour.
I'll probably need the whole, but I'll take what you can give me.
All right, thanks, John, for coming in and appreciate it.
Thank you.
John Sherb talking Dawson Boyd, La Caparra Valley Track. We'll take a break and hear from a very happy head baseball coach for La Caparra Valley, Darby Biergon, right after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, you'll find all dairy products 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Paul Ramo here in the studio, and we're going to talk to a very, very happy head coach for La Caparra Valley Baseball, Darby Biergon. Darby is in the studio. Congratulations, Darby.
Yeah, yep, thank you, Paul. You say happy. I also want to add in there tired. So
tired.
Yeah, so... But yes, no,
big
no,
week
very,
for the
very
Eagles.
Excited. Yeah, yeah, really, really happy for the guys and the work they've put in, and super excited for the experience they're going to have.
Yep. Section 3A champions and punching their ticket to the state tournament. We'll talk about what day was that? Last Thursday up in Granite Falls. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, yeah, say your Section 3A champions and on to play in a state tournament. It's memories for a lifetime.
That's right.
Right.
It's got a nice ring to it. It's kind of fun to say.
Yeah. All right, but we're going to back up. You played quite a few games in a week there.
We've had a few games since we've talked to you last, yes.
All right, let's turn the floor over to you then.
Sure, sure. We'll go back to last Saturday. So last Saturday was our first game against Dawson. It was the winner's bracket, and the winner of that game went to the section championship right away. And it was a nail-biter. It was a close game. We ended up on the short end of the stick. We lost 3-1. So a lot of things happen here, there. You know, we talk about taking advantage of errors and miscues, and it didn't happen so much for us in that game, where Dawson did take care of our, took advantage of our miscues and errors and stuff like that. So, still a fun game to be a part of. The atmosphere is playoff baseball. Of course, we were in the playoffs, but really, really exciting and a good following from both teams there that day.
Yeah, and you're playing at probably one of the best fields in Minnesota, the Irish Yard.
It's a wonderful place. It is. If you haven't been there, you need to go take a look at it, even driving by and go check it out. I know, the grass is the same grass used at Target Field, and they had the Target Field groundskeepers come out and work with them a little bit, too.
Yeah, the Baltimore Orioles, they took some chairs from the Baltimore Orioles.
Yep. Great, great experience for the fans and the players there.
Great hamburgers in the concession stand, too, I might add.
Yeah. No, I had a few myself. Yeah. So, yep.
All right. Go through some stats.
We'll go through some stats here. So, Dylan Geiser was 1-for-3 with a run, and his hit was a double. Caden Mortensen had a walk. I'm trying to think of the situation. It feels so long ago. I felt like there was a key play with Mort, but I don't recall it right now. But I'd have to look back at the whole thing here again. Davis Patzer is 1-for-3 at the double and an RBI, so he's the one that hit our lone run-in. And those were our two hits on the day. Molden crushed a ball that was called foul that will live for a long time, but it's been talked about enough, and we move on from it and stuff like that. So it didn't, as we told the players, it might have changed it would have changed the score, but it didn't change the outcome possibly. We just don't know. You know, everybody would have played the game a little bit differently. So the guys did a nice job moving on.
He hammered that one. Boy, that went a long ways.
Yeah, it was hit really hard.
Umpire's decision.
Yep. I saw it off the bat, but I couldn't tell you what happened because I was yelling at the guy on third to tag because we had less than two outs. So I was running after him to tell him to tag because he was watching the ball go.
Well, we were down the first baseline by your dugout there, and Bart jumped up and blocked my view, so I couldn't see it go across the fence.
That sounds about like Bart. So, yeah. Yep. On the mound for us that day was Brock Bjerneld. He threw 5 innings. He had 6 strikeouts, 4 walks, 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 of those were earned, and then Dylan Geiser came in and threw the last inning because Dawson was a home team. They didn't have to bat in the bottom of 7. Dylan struck out 2, didn't walk anybody, gave up 3 hits, no runs, and no earned. So that put us on the loser side for the first loss in playoffs, and we had to play Adrian, who came back out of the loser's bracket from the round before, down in Milroy at Yankee Stadium, another nice field just a few miles away from where we played Saturday.
So, yeah, and the weather played a part in that, didn't it?
Yep. So on Tuesday, it was really iffy. We were on the bus, and it was starting to rain, and we didn't know what it was like down there. You know, watching radar all day, we thought it was going to be a fast passing system, and we'd get out of there. You know, we'd get in and out, and it just ended up to sit right on top of everybody, so we had to move the game to Wednesday. So that changed our strategy a little bit for pitch count because we wouldn't have any days rest compared to having one day rest in there. And that was okay because on that day, Dylan Geiser gave us a full, complete game, 88-pitch game, and that really saved us for the Thursday following the day after.
All right, let's talk about the Adrian game.
Sure, yep. In that game, Dylan Keimig led off the game with a hit. He was 1-for-1 with an RBI. He had a hit-by-pitch, which brought in a key run for us there towards the end of the game. Caden Mortensen was 1-for-3 with a run. And again, that was our two hits. But TJ Mitchell was 0-for-3, but he had an RBI because we had a guy on third and he hit a ball to the right side that brought another guy in. So that was a really, really key situation. It might not always show in the stats how well things played out, but you know, if you can put an RBI on or a stolen base or something like that, that is just huge for the team.
Right. I think the key there was base running. He had some really good, I think Caden Mortensen had got the second to third. Was that the Adrian game, or am I confused? Somebody did a great job running bases.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of been something that we've been preaching for a long time, is since the beginning of the year is let's take advantage and be aggressive on the bases. And the guys are really, really clicking on it right now. You know, it maybe took them a few times to see what we're actually talking about. And now it's just like natural to them. And we were moving up on pass balls quite a bit. And the guys were reading. That's right. I know what you're talking about now. Yep. Mort was on second. Yep. And it was not a ball that got very far away from the catcher. And right. He took third. He saw the dirt ball and he jumped on it right away before.
And then because of that, he scored.
He came around and scored later,
if
yes.
If he wouldn't have did that, then yep. he wouldn't have been in.
Yep, yep, that's the exact play we were talking about. So.
Good, I thought my memory was going on me there for a minute.
It's better than mine right now, I'll tell you that. So on the mound for us in that game was, like I talked about, was Dylan Geiser. He got the win. He went all seven innings. He struck out 10, didn't walk anybody, gave up 4 hits, 2 runs, and none of those were earned. So Dylan came out senior for us. One of our top pitchers. We just have, you know, we have several pitchers and stuff, but we knew Dylan would do well in that situation. He also threw in that mound earlier in the year against TMB and threw a 5-0 game. So Dylan likes that field down at Yankee Field, and hats off to him because he saved some arms for us for now the following game.
Outstanding pitching performance, that's for sure.
So. Yep, yep.
So that what was that final score with
that,
Adrian?
That final was 3-2 against Adrian.
One run victory.
So advancing on those pass balls and being aggressive on the base pass pays off for us in that game also.
Okay. Good win there, and you keep it going.
Right. Now that brings us to the big one. It was we had to beat Dawson twice to go to the state, and we had different scenarios depending on how pitching went and stuff like that. With pitch count and stuff, we had to keep an eye on all that. So we decided to start Davis Patzer on the mound in this game, and Davis gave us some good innings. He worked himself into issues, but for some reason he worked himself out of those issues also, which was really fun. He started a lot of guys 0-2, but for some reason we'd go full count, it almost seemed like, the whole time. So, but Dave worked really well out of that. I know he wanted to go a little bit longer, but we, in a game situation like that, we had to pull him after. I think he ended up throwing 4 maybe, but those 4 innings he gave us were solid 4 innings that gave us a chance to win. So I'll talk about our hitting in this game. We started out in the first inning putting 2 runs up in the top half, and that's big, putting the pressure on and putting a number on the board. So then playing from ahead is always the best. Yep. So,
and thanks to Cade Molden on that.
What a game Molden had. Yeah. What a game he had. So he had all 3 RBIs for us, and the hit he had to center field, if anybody was watching or listening or there, they know that wind was blowing in hard. And he crushed it to center field, where they would have been a no-doubter if the wind wasn't blowing.
If the wind wasn't blowing as hard as it was, that would have been out of here. Yep. It landed in the softball field.
Yep, that's right. Yep. So hitting in this first game for us, Dylan Geiser was 1-for-2 with a run. He had a walk and he had a sacrifice. Caden Mortensen was 1-for-3 with a run. He had a stolen base and a walk. Davis, let's get down to Molden. Molden was 2-for-3 with a double, and he had 3 RBIs, so he brought in all 3 runs in that game for us. So Molden really helped us out there. Pitching-wise, Davis Patzer, like I said, he got the win. He threw 4 innings. He had 3 strikeouts, 6 walks, 3 hits. He didn't give up a run. And then, of course, there's no earned runs in that. And then we brought in Caden Mortensen, another senior, who hasn't seen a lot of innings on the mound, but we just trust Caden so much, demeanor and how he approaches everything. So he probably hasn't seen a lot of innings on the mound just because we hate to lose him at first base. He's such a strong defender there, too. So Mort got the save. He threw 3 innings. He had 3 strikeouts, 1 walk, 1 hit, 1 run. And I got to go back. I haven't had time. That might have been an unearned run. I got to look at that one more time. So Caden did a wonderful job closing the door there. So we ended up with that first game win, 3-1, which brought us to the second game, which was the big one.
Yeah, and at the end of that first game, Dawson Boyd, they made it interesting in the seventh inning. They weren't going down quietly there.
Right,
They got pretty exciting there in the seventh, didn't they?
Yeah, it was. They ended up scratching across a run in the seventh, and they had bases loaded there.
Yep.
So
It
was it was intense.
Tying run got the first or second.
Yep, it was on second base. We were talking about the tying run being on second.
Winning run would
have been on first.
Yep.
Yep, so it was an intense game, and that's what you want in playoffs, to experience that and learn and grow from that also.
All right, so you forced a game 2 against the Blackjacks, and everything's on the line there.
Yep.
The winner was going to go to the state.
Yep, game 2, and the guys were ready. You know, I didn't know how they were going to react after the game 1 win, if all of a sudden we were going to get tense or anything like that, but they played loose. They were ready. So we'll go through the hitting here. Our first run, Dawson put. We were the home team in the situation. I should say that because we flipped a coin with each team having a loss. So we were the home team. We won the coin toss. Dawson put the first run up in the second, but we backed it up with a run in the second also. So we were 1-1 after two, and then the fourth inning hit, and that's where we put three up, and we were up 4-1 at that point, which was big. I think I looked at the board, if I remember right. At one point, I looked up there. We were up 4-1, and we did not have a hit yet. So we did all the little things right to get to where we were at.
Yeah, Bart and I noticed that right away, too. Four runs, no hits.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing sacrifice bunts. I know TJ had a sacrifice bunt that put people at second and third, and
couple
then Landon Weber had a ground out RBI, which is huge. And just doing those little things, and we talk about this with the kids, is situational hitting. Try to do something with it where we can get a run in, and then that's what Webb did. He put it right up the middle for us.
Yep.
So on the day, Dylan Kimig scored a run. He had two walks. Davis Patzer had a big day. He was 2-for-3 with two runs. One of those was a double. He had a stolen base and two RBIs, so he was swinging a good stick in that second game. Caden Molden was 1-for-1 with a run, a hit-by-pitch, and a walk, and probably one of my favorite plays in the whole tournament so far was the early break where he got in the rundown and was able to help Davis score from third. It was so fun to watch that.
Yeah, it was textbook. That's the way you draw it up,
right? It's something we practice, and Caden did a wonderful job just staying in that box as much as we could, and we were waiting for a throw from first to second. We got it, and that's when Davis took off.
Yeah, well, I remarked on the broadcast that, I hope they have an oxygen tank in the dugout for Caden.
Yep. Molden, he was a little gassed, but I think he knew exactly what he did and knew what he had to do, and he did a wonderful job at doing it, executing it. So going through here, Landon Weber was 0-for-2 with a run, but he did have an RBI. TJ Mitchell scored a run, and we can't go without saying this, is Braden Danzies, and what has he done in the playoffs is just nothing but outstanding. I think in the playoffs he is 3-for-4 with three RBIs and a double in a pinch hit situation. He's just been so clutch in that situation, and he knows it. He's ready. He understands his role, and it's huge. You can hear the crowd just get excited when they see him come to the plate, and he tagged the ball that was able to sacrifice. I think it might have been Molden from third to come in and score.
Sacrifice fly, wasn't it?
Sacrifice fly to left field, deep left field again. So,
Brain was
0-for-0, but it was a sacrifice and an RBI, and it was a huge RBI at that time. That put us up 2-1. That put us up 2-1 at that point. So,
good.
Yep, and past that, we got one more run in the fifth. After Davis had that double, that was the rundown with Molden. And then Davis had another huge hit in the sixth. It gave us two more insurance runs after a walk by Cale Benson and Dylan Kimig, and they moved over in the process. And then Davis hit him in on I have a double here, but I think that was a single to right, and he maybe advanced to second on the throw. So 7-2 final. We can't stop thinking about what our pitching performance was in that game, because Caden Mortensen came back after finishing the game in game one, and he threw another four innings to get the win. So we had a save and a win in the same day. He threw four innings, three Ks, one walk, two hits, one run, and it was earned. And then Brock Bjerneld, another one of our top pitchers, came in. He threw three innings, three Ks, two walks, two hits, one run, and one earned. So it played out exactly like we had hoped, and I'm happy for the guys. I feel for Dawson because they have a good team. They had a good season, and Darren's a great guy, good coach, and I know those guys are down in the dumps, but they know that they've got a good team coming back.
Blake Thompson
is the only senior on the
only
team.
Only senior on the team there. And I think they ended up 17-5 on the season, 17-4, something like that.
Could have been,
So nice season for the Blackjacks.
Right on, yep. So.
All right. Well,
yeah,
that was a nice week.
Yes, that was a fun week, exhausting week, but it's fun. Like I said, it's all for the guys, all for the families.
Yep.
Let them experience this. This is something that's going to live on for them for many, many years, and I hope they enjoy it for what it's worth.
And I just want to comment about the crowd in Granite Falls on Thursday night. Dawson Boyd fans and the Lac Parole Valley fans, and there's other fans there too. That was amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. That's what it's all about. And thank you to everybody for coming out and supporting the guys and supporting both teams.
Okay. Now what happens?
Well, so
Saturday morning,
we've got a seating morning. So we'll be doing a seating here shortly this morning, and hopefully we'll know They usually seed the 1 through 4 teams. I don't know, since we were a 2 seed in our section, if we will have a top 4 seeding, but after that, then it's a random draw, so okay. We'll probably face anybody. We wouldn't face the 4 team. We'd probably be facing 1, 2, or 3, and then 4 and 5 face each other. So we'll know that probably mid-afternoon, maybe early, maybe right around noon or something like that. But we do know we're playing at in St. Cloud at Joe Faber Field, and I don't know if anybody's ever been there. Wonderful complex. Dick Putz Stadium is right next to it. It's a good atmosphere for baseball.
That's right. Montevideo Thunderhawks, they won the Section 3 AA. They're going to be playing right next to you guys.
It's going to be kind of cool to have two teams within 30 miles of each other playing in the state tournament together.
You know, my son Brandon's on the coaching staff of Montevideo, and Tim Appleman does a great job over there, and congratulations to the Thunderhawks, too.
Yep, correct. Yep. No, the good friends of mine, both Brandon and Tim, and we always talk baseball anytime we run into each other.
It'd be nice that we didn't play at the same time so we could go cheer each other on. So.
I don't know if the state will listen to us about that, but it would be fun. Yeah.
All right, information for fans that they should know?
Yeah, we'll just stay posted. We'll try to put it on social media. I know if you go to the Minnesota State High School League, you can buy tickets online. Otherwise, you might be able to buy them at the door there. We'll get stuff out on social media on game times and who we're playing as soon as we can. We do know we're playing 2 games no matter what. It would be Thursday and then again Friday at some point. Come on out. I mean, come and support the guys. We're still in discussion if we're going to do a send-off or anything like that for the guys driving through the towns. I'm in works with Zach Stelter, who we got to give Zach a shout-out to because he has been relentless on getting this stuff organized and doing a great job in his first year as AD. Past that, we're going to come back to practice on Monday and Tuesday and keep the boys loose, keep them swinging, and hope for the best moving forward.
Okay, is there like a banquet or not?
We haven't heard anything on that yet. I know Bart said that they had one when they went in 2012. When we meet here for the seating, then we might be able to find that out shortly.
So. All right. Real good, Darby. Thanks for coming in this morning, and congratulations again. First time since 2012.
First time since 2012, yes.
Yep, and everyone's excited about it.
Yeah, yep. So, again, thank you for covering us, and fans, thank you for the support and everything out there. I know everybody on our team and coaches appreciate it a lot.
And Q92 Sports will be at St. Cloud on Thursday. Actually, I'm covering state golf Tuesday and Wednesday. And Becker right down the road.
Yeah, and good luck to our golfers and the people running at track right now or that ran at track, and keep it going. Keep the season going as long as you can.
All right. Thanks a lot, Darby.
All right. Thank you.
That's head coach Darby Biergon of the Section 3A Baseball Champions. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coaches Show after this. Come on over to Camby for Camby Hat Days, Friday, June 14th and Saturday, June 15th. All events are free and located at Central Park unless specified. For a complete list of all events, check out CambyChamber.com. That's Camby Hat Days, June 14th and 15th. Sponsored by the Camby Chamber of Commerce. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk tennis. Dawson Boyd, Lock of Pearl Valley boys tennis team. We're going to wrap up the season with head coach Austin Ireland. And good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, is the wind blowing?
It's not raining. It's a beautiful day.
That's right. That's good. Hey, we're going to wrap up the tennis season. I'm just going to turn it over to you, Austin, and talk about each of the tennis players and how your season went. So, have at it.
All right. Thank you much. Well, it was a good year. We ended up being 5-7 on the season. We started out with a win against McCree Wolverines to begin the year. Before the season, it was kind of nice. We were able to go outside and hit some. And then when the season starts, we had some moisture and some snow. But no, our first match of the year ended up beating McCree 4-3. And then we kind of ran into a juggernaut, losing to Montevideo, Nolan and Spicer, and Minnewaska, all 7-0. But, Montevideo won as a team in our section. And then Nolan had some individuals that went to state. And Minnewaska also had a team and some individuals that went to state. Losing to YME 4-3 in the early in the season there. And that was one of those matches we had where it was kind of the guys were motivated. They're really motivated to get their revenge. Lost to Benson, Redwood, kind of went out of sight, and then we ended up winning 3 straight. And then we got the playoff start, and then when the playoff came, we took we faced YME. The guys, like I said, as soon as we lost that one, they wanted it back, and we ended up beating them on their home court and ended their team season. And then we made it to the second day of team down in Redwood, and that's kind of always our team goal. You know, like I mentioned this before, it's you know, it's good when you make your team goals. We ended up losing in the semifinals to Montevideo, and Montevideo, as I mentioned earlier, had just they had won our section, and they represented our section at the state tournament. And we had a good season. Just going to go through the lineup here. We had our two captains, Gunnar Olsen and Luke Stock. They kind of took turns taking over at one single. Both the guys did a good job. Kind of early in the season, we lost about four straight. We kind of woke up a little bit, and you know, these guys kind of got into a role they weren't really familiar with. You know, we lost quite a bit of few seniors, but Gunnar did a nice job at two, and then also at one, really kind of get styled. Those guys kind of go back and forth. Luke Stock does a nice job of consistency, and is kind of more of a pusher, but more of a defensive. He plays really good defense. Whereas Gunnar, he takes on a lot of offense, and both those guys do a nice job representing our program. And look forward to seeing them grow on the next year. We're a very junior heavy team. We do not have a senior on the roster, so that was kind of nice. We get everyone back. Mitchell Myers, he played third singles. Hot and cold sometimes. He ended up, it was 4-11 record on the year. Injured his knee earlier. I kind of went through some bumps, but overall did a great job. Brody Boston, 3-8 on the season. He played four singles. When he gets to serve and did a really good job. Singles is a big mental game. And, I think at 3 and 4, singles, both those guys, you know, if they can be mentally strong, you know, when they're in the right zone, they can get a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And it's happy for those guys. Good athletes.
Good.
You know, we had them guys, and both those guys, too, they were doubles players a year ago. And same with Gunnar. He was a doubles player. And, you know, moving from doubles to singles, it's a whole different ballgame. And, right. They seem to have got a year under the belt. And that's going to be nice moving forward. On the other side of things, we had Brody Nelson, a sophomore, a tall, athletic kid, really lanky. We put him at doubles because, you know, we try to utilize his frame. His serve really kicked on this year. But, I think moving forward, I think we might bump him back to singles. His partner throughout the year was Tony Reap. Tony does a great job communicating. He does a good job of putting placement on the ball. We put him at third singles. He got a win in his first match. And then, lost two straight. And then we moved him back to doubles. But, he does a really good job of communicating, those two do. But for some reason, they just couldn't click. And, you know, you try to force a singles player to doubles. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. I'm happy those guys did a good job. Moving down to our second doubles team throughout the year, we had Hudson Giese and Thomas Felton. Hudson's first year out, and he really, really stepped it up. Really natural. I think he on that boys' volleyball team, that's really kind of transitioned into both sports. And Thomas Felton, he's really a hard-working kid. They did another really good job of being resilient, having a good head on their shoulders, always kind of looking forward, you know, mental game, you know, always being, you know, up positive, upbeat, and trying to, you know, move on to the next point. So, and then our third double team, we had Gannon Andrews and Jeremiah Stevens. Gannon doesn't get enough credit. You know, that kid does a really very cerebral, very smart, and a wonderful communicator. There was even one time in the match where one of our guys was playing a different court, said, "Hey, can you tell Gannon to quiet down?" You know? And I'm like, okay, I told the kid, I'm not going to do that. You know, he's doing a great job of voicing and then, you know, in communicating not only where he's at, but also, you know, where the partner's going to be and we're anticipating that next shot. And he's a really good leadership with those two. Jeremiah, we moved him a little bit singles. He moved better at singles. And, you know, this is his second year out. You know, really struggled to serve at first. He's getting it down now. It's about a good group of guys. Like I said, we have, Thomas and Hudson and Brody are the only sophomores on the varsity team. And everyone else on the varsity squad is a junior. So we'll get everyone back. We got a couple JV guys we'll talk about here. Miguel his foreign exchange student from Spain. He was always, it's always fun to have a foreign exchange student, Paul. And it's always, it's a different element where you can throw him in wherever and it's just, you know, he's happy-go-lucky. He's just happy to be here, so.
Right.
He ended up throwing him in a varsity spot a couple different times. I feel thrilled afterwards, but that's the result. But no, it's good to have him around. And another one we have, Cole Percy. He was he come out this year, first year out. He wanted to be the manager. And after we went to one match, I told him, I said, get your physical. You're going to be playing. If you're going to come, you might as well play. And he did a great job. He really enjoyed himself. And that's huge, too. You know, when guys just go, when they, you got to try it. You're not sure unless you try it. And, you know, the guys that we have out here that tried it, they really loved it. So, good to see.
Good.
Yeah. And anyway, a couple of other guys, younger guys, we got Darren Rails. He was really heavy in the robotics team out at La Caparo and missed a lot of matches from that and gun safety training, but it was awesome when we had him out in the court. Ended up losing a really close match in Redwood for one of his JV matches. But, yeah, it was good to have him out this year, too. And we finally got a seventh grader. I haven't had them in a couple of years. And Aaron Will was our seventh grader on the team. And, you know, there were some times where he run up against some seniors. I remember Newland Spicer, he was kind of scared at that conference tournament playing seniors. And he's like, I'm 12. These kids can drive, you know.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was entertaining, at least. You know, it's you know, when you have a lot of upperclassmen, and then you have that one seventh grader, that was it was an interesting dynamic, and it was a lot of fun, and I, you know, wouldn't have it any other way. But, you know, right. Thanks to Mr. Hurley, he did a nice job. We had the short bus, the mini bus, quite a bit of time, so Mr. Hurley was sharing a seat with Aaron for most of the time. So good thing there was at least a seventh grader. So he didn't. The seventh graders don't take up a lot of room, so Mr. Hurley had a little bit of leg room anyway.
Yeah, I always hear about van rides on the golf team. The golf team always tells me the highlight of their careers are their van rides. How about that with the tennis team? Same thing? They're a lot of fun?
Oh, absolutely. You know, these guys, you know, Mr. Hurley's being the music teacher or a choir teacher and Dawson Boyd. And a lot of those guys are very active in music and play. So they're singing along, they're doing some karaoke. I mean, this. Sometimes I just kind of tune out and drive, but sometimes it's like, man, that kid's pretty good, you know. Maybe some of them will be on the Ed Sullivan Show one day. Or
there you go.
I don't know.
You know, you guys are the road warriors. So I think we should let our listeners know you did not play a tennis match at home. You're all on the road.
Yeah. So every single match was a karaoke. What do they call it? Carpool karaoke. We're on the road every single match, and every single match they were. They were very audible. Let's say that.
Okay, good.
It's good in a way because we don't have to play with the wind. But there's sometimes, you know, there are a lot of late nights when you're on the road.
Right.
You know, and of course the kids love it. Oh, they get to go out and eat and stuff like that. But
yeah, what was that story you're telling me a couple weeks ago? You broke a record eating shrimp or something. Where was that at?
Yeah, that was in Redwood. There was a buffet, and yeah, it was 700, and I have it written down somewhere. 700. Something shrimp, and one guy, I think it was Cole, who put down 200 by himself. He still had 100, over 100. It was just, I don't know, they might not let us in anymore. We might have to come unplacarded with the bus, so they'll let us in next time.
Good. Yeah, I know you got a good following with parents and grandparents, always showing up to the tennis matches, and so doing an outstanding job there, Austin, and then keep the program going. And goes fast. So you start out in August, and you're done, or not August? You start out. When do you start your practice?
Oh, end of March. We're the last ones to start and the first ones to finish.
Oh wow!
I think it was 28. Was it the 28th? No, 24. No, 28th this year. Where was it? Yeah, it was. Last one to start, first to finish. It's only, I think it's less than 9 weeks.
All right, goes fast.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Austin? We cover everything.
No, I think we're good. I just want to say, you know, nice job. I mean, we had as a community, we've had a wonderful season. I mean, season and also year. Mm-hmm. I mean, with for all of our sporting events, and yeah, it's good to see a lot of kids keep being active. And I love the quote. You don't have to be a sport to be in a sport to be one.
That's right.
I don't know. I butchered it, but
that's Dick Newman said. Quote.
Great job with the golf team, the baseball team, the softball team. I mean, even going back to the wrestling and dance line, and so I mean, it was just, you know, it's good to see this community, and hopefully we can continue to do stuff like that and keep growing and keeping active.
All right. Real good, Austin. I want to thank you for being on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show every Saturday. Appreciate that. And looking forward to next year then.
Awesome. Highlight of my week.
All right. Thanks, Austin.
Yep.
That's Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacabarro Valley Boys Tennis Team. The bad guys, right, Austin?
That's right. Bad to the bone.
And we'll take a commercial break, and we'll be back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
My name is Claire Borsted, and I'm a senior on the Lacabarro Valley softball team. Our team would like to thank the following home run sponsors: Lubbock Sink Tiling, Cargill, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholz Concrete, Clement Electric, Kibble Equipment, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Chigasid Pioneer Seed, Perry Sun Bank, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, Blake and Ramona Dineen Family, Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Q92 FM Radio, Milan Legion Post number 359, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, Appleton Dental Care, Joe and Deb Schreier, Appleton Sportsman's Club, Golden Harvest Traeger Seeds, Appleton Area Health, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Ag Country, Zarbuck Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Milan Community Foundation, and the Appleton Community Foundation. Thank you to all our home run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Back here in the studio, wrapping up the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We'll wrap up the Lacabarro Valley softball season with head coach Scott Sawatsky next Saturday. Just got a text from head coach Darby Biergon of the Lacabarro Valley baseball team. They're on their way to the state tournament. The seedings were just released moments ago. And Lacabarro, they see the top four teams, and Lacabarro Valley will play the number one seed in the tournament, Cherry High School, at 3:30 at Joe Faber Field in St. Cloud. That'll happen on Thursday afternoon against number one seed Cherry. If you remember Cherry, they play, I believe they're state basketball champions. They have three brothers on the team, outstanding athletes, and they play baseball, as I understand it. So. Yeah, so the Eagles get Cherry at 3:30 this coming Thursday in St. Cloud in a game you'll hear right here on Q92. I understand Montevideo also going to the state. They also drew the number one seed in the Class AA tournament, which will be played at Dick Putts Field right next to Joel Faber Field. Thunderhawks will play Esco at 3 o'clock on Thursday. So that's all we know right now for state baseball. So we'll be up there in St. Cloud. I'll be covering state golf Tuesday and Wednesday at Pebble Creek and Becker. Best of luck to all the area state golfers and the Dawson Boyd boys team, but Dawson Boyd girls team participating in the state golf tournament. And, of course, we'll be following Lacabarro Valley in the state baseball tournament in St. Cloud on Thursday and Friday. And that wraps up another Saturday. Our Saturday Coaches Show here on a beautiful Saturday morning. Thanks for listening, everyone.
The time is 9:57. Great music for Montevideo, Benson, and Morris on Q92 KLQP-FM.
Too hard to resist. So
away.